WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into Thanksgiving week, so a happy family celebration. Put some sauerkraut and kielbasa on the menu. Get over to Wise. Get yourself a free turkey like my wife did before the game on Sunday. We are not doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week. I do have some dates at Costas and Fadley's for the holidays, as well as another special announcement for next week as well. But you can check out our Maryland Crab Cake Tour, which was awesome, from Pappas Crab. I guess it's our Thanksgiving edition with David Steele, as well as Mike Bordick, Adam Kolarik, and his dad, Frank Kolarik. A lot of baseball conversating on Friday, which I'm sure would please this guy. Luke Jones joins us now in the aftermath of quite the barn burner down there. I would say the only positive, well, there are a lot of positives, actually. They won. Those are all positive things. Good news is Chad Steele took my tickets away. So, like, I didn't waste $300 sitting freezing my ass off in the front row of the upper deck watching that. And the other good news is you had a nice warm, toasty seat in the press box there to watch field goals and the wind blow, amongst other things. What's going on, man? How are you?
Doing well. And I mean, I think we need to start with the defense was outstanding. I mean, you hold any team in the NFL to 3 points, you're doing something right. 3.8 yards per play, 2.1 yards per carry, 3 fourth quarter takeaways. They made Baker Mayfield look like the quarterback who, oh yeah, was already benched earlier this year when the Panthers fired their head coach and they went to PJ Walker. But on the flip side, as I noted when the game was coming to an end and the Ravens win 13-3, as outstanding as the defense was, well, the offense was also there, and, well, it was there. So, you know, it's one of those games that, as I said to you before we started our conversation, that as a reporter, as a media type, where you're trying to break a game down, you don't want to be overly negative because they won. Right? I mean, we see weird things happen in this league every week, and we see good teams lose to bad teams, or at least teams we think are good that lose to bad teams. So you never want to take that for granted. But at the same time, Nestor, if I told you early Sunday morning before everyone's heading to the stadium and tailgating and sitting out there in the cold and the wind, that which would be more surprising, the Panthers scoring 3 points or the Ravens scoring 13 points, I think most people would have said the Ravens scoring 13 points. So that's where you look at this one and you try to take away the good, which certainly was the defense and the way that they played. But on the flip side, offensive performance coming out of the bye week against a team that had been a bottom third defense or in just about any category you can look at, that's underwhelming. And that's something that we'll continue to talk about. We've talked about it all year in terms of the passing game and, injuries, and we'll certainly talk about the health of Ronnie Stanley and Kyle Hamilton on the other side of the ball. But, it's certainly a choppy performance, even if, yes, at the end of the day, you're satisfied that they got a win. 4 in a row now, 7-3, first place in the AFC North, but still plenty to unpack that you look at from this game where you say, Ravens need to be better than that moving forward, because that's not going to get it done quite a few Sundays. But it did on Sunday, so that was good.
Look, none of us like the cold weather, right? And I don't even want to begin this thing by beginning this thing with the cold weather, but boy, it sure feels like Lamar Jackson doesn't like cold weather, right? Like, whether it's his hands in his pocket walking up to the huddle, it's just he has not played well, and certainly the wind, and I guess I had never really thought about this because we've had conditions where there have been windy games. I mean, they played a playoff game up in Buffalo a couple years ago in the middle of January, right? Like, how that could neutralize their offense in a lot of ways. First off, they're not great at passing the ball to begin with. Let's begin to say they have to run the ball really well for them to win. They must run the ball well. I don't think they can rely on their passing game. I just don't think that's who they are, which probably is one of the reasons Vegas has never really liked them to win a Super Bowl. The other part of this is, on a day like Sunday when the wind's swirling around and the TV announcers, by the way, dude, that's another benefit. I'm pissed at Chad Steele for a lot of things, but sending me to watch that television broadcast on Sunday, PU, horrible. I don't know how just awful. It was an awful broadcast. The in and out of break, just everything, the information as it was coming to us. They didn't even show Ronnie Stanley when he went down. They took a break, and I'm like on Twitter looking for Ewan Zrebeck to find out what the hell's going on. So I would just say the win before the game, when It was all that you guys were tweeting about. And can Justin Tucker kick a 50-yarder when last week he's making 80-yarders with bunny hops and like all that? And that's like 3 points and 3 points and 3 points. But what that is they're on the 41-yard line and in a normal game. You know, that's worth 3 points to them most of the time, two-thirds of the time, whatever it is. Boy, that changes dramatically if you go playing on the road and in your own stadium with the way the scoreboards have on a day like Sunday sort of wreaked havoc with Justin Tucker's game a little bit too, where the wind will hurt their offense. Bad weather, I'm pretty convinced, will not help the Ravens offense because it's going to cost them points and opportunities to have points that other teams in the league never even think about getting points. But in this offense and the way the Ravens play, I think it affects the way they play. I felt that way on Sunday, that they were not going to kick four field goals on Sunday, that's not the way the game was going to be played. And it's the way they like to play the game.
That's fair, but I would say in response to that, if the wind is so dramatic that it's impacting Justin Tucker, it's probably impacting opposing teams' passing games then. I mean, if we're talking about it being that strong. So I hear what you're saying. I certainly think there's validity to that. And we saw this 2 years ago at Buffalo in the divisional round. I mean, Justin Tucker missed two field goals in that game where the wind was crazy. On the flip side, Josh Allen and that Bills offense didn't do a whole lot through the air. I mean, they did enough. They did more than the Ravens, and I'm not going to belabor that point. But, yeah, I think there are certainly
elements. You must run the ball then. And even when you run the ball, you don't get a chance to kick. So you better run into the end zone or get yourself down to the 15-yard line, right? Like, it's a different game the way John plays it week to week over the last 5 years since Lamar got here.
Yeah, but I would say at the same time, kicking field goals generally is not going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not going to beat the Buffalo Bills. I don't think it's going to beat the Miami Dolphins, quite frankly. I think you're going to have to score touchdowns anyway. And, you know, again, to go back to the wind element, certainly if you're talking about it neutralizing Justin Tucker, then I do think you're going to talk about it neutralizing an opponent's passing game. So, but I think you mentioned an interesting point about Lamar Jackson in terms of, and I don't even know so much is the cold, but we've seen it, I think, with the rain. And I think the Buffalo game back in week four was a good example of this. It wasn't cold, but certainly it was rainy and it was damp. And we saw Lamar and this passing game, which had been humming weeks one, two, and three. It feels like a long time ago at this point because the passing game hasn't been humming in that way since then. But keep in mind what they did in the air against the Jets and what they did against Miami until the final four, you know, until the final quarter. Lamar had a huge game that day through the air, and they did the same thing against the Patriots. But since that week four game, which there was an example of the rain and it not being ideal elements, and Lamar struggled in that game throwing the football. So it is one of those things that, and again, the Tucker thing, I think you're talking about extreme wind at that point, and I think that's going to impact anyone. And that's probably an argument to like the Ravens in January if you get into that position, because it does neutralize Patrick Mahomes, even if it does neutralize Justin Tucker a little more than you'd like. But I think with Lamar, we're seeing in an ideal world, you'd like him to be a little bit more of what they'd call a mutter, I guess, where Joe Flacco was a mutter. I mean, he say what you want about Joe Flacco in a lot of instances, and certainly in the regular season didn't put up near the kind of numbers that Lamar Jackson has to already be a league MVP, but you know, he could throw the football through the wind and the rain, and, you know, kind of like the post office in that way. But you know, with Lamar, you'd like him to be a little bit more effective in those elements, but that's lots of quarterbacks in all.
I just think for South Florida, look, I'm Venezuelan by nature. It's 20 degrees this morning. Like, I don't like the cold either. Right. So I wouldn't say it is an adjustment, and I don't think it's anything unless you're Wim Hof and you dump it. My buddy Victor Brick jumping in the, you know, ice baths, that you ever get used to it. I just feel like he's not in as much of command, and I don't know whether it was the stomach ailment on Friday or the mysterious, because everything out there is mysterious, and you ask the questions, and I'm never really sure we're getting a straight answer one way or another, but it felt like Lamar wasn't, He didn't have the pep in his step in the game on Sunday for whatever reason, health, weather related. It was not his finest hour. And certainly as we get into this with Ronnie Stanley and saying, where is the offense, you know, and where is this going the next couple of weeks if Ronnie Stanley's not around?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been pretty evident for a while. And Sunday aside, they've run the ball very well since the first couple of weeks of the season. I think you look at that, that's been a much more consistent element of their offense since that Jets game, really. I mean, it's been since then. And I'd even say the Miami game. Remember, the numbers are skewed a little bit. Lamar had the long touchdown run in that game. Really, since then, however, they've run the ball very well overall. Now, Sunday, Panthers, give them credit. They took away a lot of the zone read stuff. And I mean, I know Kenyon Drake even talked about that after the game. But you know, I think as it pertains to Lamar and this passing game, it's kind of been a while that it's looked like this. I mean, you kind of look at where he's been since the first 3 weeks of the season, where you know, he threw 10 touchdowns and you know, was way up there in yards per attempt. You know, you kind of look over the 6 or 7 games since then. I mean, he's averaging well below 7 yards per passing attempt, which is kind of a, you know, kind of a benchmark that you'd rather see him be a little bit better in that regard. Now, let's be very clear. How much of that is Lamar? How much of that is no Rashad Bateman? And let's face it, at some point in time, the Ravens talked a lot about liking their young wide receivers, and Eric DaCosta talked about this last offseason, even before they traded Hollywood Brown. These guys haven't stepped up. You know, James Proche had a chance, played a little bit more on Sunday. I remember him committing a penalty. He didn't make any catches. I saw him drop a pass. Yeah, we're just seeing that. Devin Duvernay, as well as he was playing earlier in the year, where has that gone? You know, he has a couple touches over the last couple games. Is that Greg Roman? Is that Devin Duvernay? You know, it's probably a combination of things on that front.
Plus,
So,
DeMarcus Robinson getting the ball more too, right? I mean,
yeah, it is. But at the same time, DeMarcus Robinson is what he is. He's a veteran role player in Kansas City who was cut by the, and look, the Raiders are a disaster and a mess. So I don't want to sit here and say that they were right and the Ravens, you know, but it was telling in the sense that he was cut before the preseason ended and the Ravens picked him up. Now, thank goodness, because he's kind of becoming their de facto number one wide receiver by default. I mean, Mark Andrews is the number one receiver overall, we know, but DeMarcus Robinson stepped up. I mean, that was good to see. But at the same time, if you're going to sit here and ask me if I think a passing game with Mark Andrews and DeMarcus Robinson and not a whole lot from other guys is going to get it done, especially in January, my answer is going to be no. So they need to, they're searching for it. And that's not to say they won't find it. That's not to say that they won't get on a roll. And again, you'd much rather be talking about this after a victory than after a defeat. But you do look at this passing game and, you know, whatever element you want to talk about. Although the one I will say, and this is where we get into Ronnie Stanley and his health, and we'll see what John Harbaugh has to say. You know, didn't have anything to say after the game, although Lamar Jackson was asked about Ronnie and said that Ronnie told him he was good. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean he, you know, I think it means probably hasn't suffered a season-ending injury, or you would hope, but doesn't mean he won't miss a little bit of time here. So, you know, you hope for the best there. But the one element of this offense that you're feeling the best about right now, beyond just the known commodity that is Lamar Jackson, is how well this offensive line has played. And I would even challenge that you look at the sacks that the Ravens endured on Sunday. I'm not sure how much of that was even a breakdown in pass protection as much as maybe indecisiveness from Lamar Jackson or guys not getting open, just looking, it looked very choppy. You know, it was even some of the passes that they converted, it felt like a high degree of difficulty. And DeMarcus Robinson made a couple really nice catches to his credit, but
Well, and a couple guys
is
dropped
that
a couple
really
too that would
something
have
that
moved
I've
sticks and probably changed
sure
the
right
trajectory of the
and that
game. I mean, it's one thing to say we're going to split Pat Ricard wide and send
yeah
him on a fly route. Then he's got to catch the ball, you know?
right although they committed a penalty there, so it wouldn't even have counted had he caught it, but you're right. I mean, it's just it they really lacked rhythm, and I think what's so disappointing about it, beyond just it being the opponent and playing at home, yeah, this is what you came up with coming out of the bye week, right? I mean, we know, and it was talked about throughout the week, how good the Ravens have been in the Harbaugh era in games immediately following a bye. I mean, they've come out, you know, we talk about this in week one, right? They have all this time to prepare, extra time to prepare for an opponent, and we've seen them play so well in week ones, typically over the years. And same thing with the bye week. So I think from that standpoint, as thrilled as you are about the defense, at the same time, you look at the offense and say, it's probably a good thing they were playing the Carolina Panthers on Sunday, because that was not an offensive performance that frankly, is going to beat a whole lot of teams in the NFL. So you move on from it. You try to get better from it. I certainly don't think it's anything to panic over. Just a week ago, we were talking about the Ravens and their prospects of making a deep January run. I don't think this changes anything about that. But at the same time, those questions that we had during the bye week about the passing game, talking about the health of the football team, I think Sunday was a great reminder. It's great to talk about an easy schedule on paper and all these teams that are below 500 and you're not going to play a winning team again until they face the Bengals in week 18.
By the way, that was a fun graphic on Fox when they put that up. 3-6, 3-6, 4-5, you know, like you're like, oh, win, 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 win. And then you look up, you're like, oh, it's 6-3 and we might lose.
Well, it's that. And then it's talking about all the guys the Ravens are getting back and improving health. Well, and that's not even saying that they've lost Ronnie Stanley for the year, that they've lost Kyle Hamilton for the year. You know, the initial speculation about it is all that is. It's speculation, but it's a reminder of, boy, just how fleeting it can be because, you know, we talked about it. The Ravens lived it the last 2 years. When you don't have Ronnie Stanley at left tackle, it limits your ceiling. You know, and that's what we're talking about right now with this football team. I think everyone expected them to win Sunday, and they won. So good for the Ravens. You know, again, the defense played great, but at the same time, you go through these games and you say, okay, yeah, they're going to beat Carolina, and yeah, even though I think Jacksonville, you know, if they play this way going to Jacksonville, they'd lose. I think, you know, especially on the offensive side of the football, but you can look at Denver and you can look at Pittsburgh and you can look at Cleveland and Atlanta and go down the list of opponents and say, okay, those sound like wins. But at the same time, you're still looking at this thing in a big picture sense and saying, okay, where are the improvements being made for this team that, yeah, you can beat those teams, but what's that going to look like come January when you're going to be facing tougher opponents again? And that's where you want to see improvement. That's where you want to see growth. And that's where it was disappointing for me to see the offense perform the way that it did. I get it. I mean, Carolina, they were coming off of some extra rest as well. And you know, I know Lamar and some of the offensive players talked about how well Carolina played defensively and I'll hear it to a point. It's the NFL and you don't make assumptions, but at the same time, let's face it. You know, you go out and 13 points and let's face it, that was set up nicely by the defense and some turnovers in the fourth quarter to even get to 13 points. It's got to be better. And they know that. And that's going to be the task now as they turn the page and get ready for Jacksonville this week.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there in Owings Mills all week. I canceled my flight to Jacksonville this weekend. I've always wanted to cancel a flight to Jacksonville. It was a great opportunity to do that here this week. I was a little disappointed that I canceled my flight out of Orlando because I thought, yeah, I'll get a little Epcot out of this thing here along with my pumpkin pie. But certainly for this week and getting ready for Jacksonville, it sounds like Jacksonville, except I remember some real disappointing outcomes in Jacksonville, in London, and other places. And to your point, where the offense is right now, and to say it's sputtering, and to say, where's Mark Andrews' health? We know about Stanley's health at this point. Even Lamar had some issues. You know, they need to be better this week. All of a sudden, this feels like a larger game in the way of one of these is going to get in their way. This might be the one that gets in their way. They have to play better, but the offense, for me, I don't know where the star players are. You know, we're waiting on Gus Edwards. We're waiting on Jake. We're waiting, yeah. waiting. There is no waiting. It's week 11. We're in it right now. It is what it is. What about DeMarcus Robinson? Like, what about him this week that he got 9 targets? And that just seems unusual to me. Or maybe it's he's the one guy in the room that understands the offense and understands what they're doing, get himself open enough for Lamar.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's so much that other guys necessarily don't understand the offense as much as he's the one guy they have at wide receiver at this point who's done it. And let's be clear, we're talking about a guy that was a role player in Kansas City. I mean, this was only his second career 100-yard receiving game. He played a lot for the Chiefs. So it kind of – I mean, this isn't a former number one or either really number two wide receiver playing elsewhere.
Well, they did
before,
have pretty good options in that offense, though, as I remember it. They won Super Bowls.
They did, but and hey, Sunday night, look at some of the guys that were catching passes for them with having some guys that were banged up. I mean, it just speaks to Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. I mean, he's the MVP at this point, understanding there's still a long way to go. But I guess for me, he's the one guy they have at this point that you kind of look to and say, he can make some catches on the outside. Now, do I think it's enough? Do I think DeMarcus Robinson being your number one wide receiver by default is a good indicator of what this passing game is? It's probably not a good thing. DeMarcus Robinson in a perfect world is a number three or number four wide receiver, but it's where the Ravens are right now. But I think with what Carolina did with their defense to take away the run, take away some of the zone read, they played that stuff well. Give them credit for that against an offense that had run the ball against just about everyone here in recent weeks. But I think when you talk about that and you try to compress the middle of the field, where are you going to be able to try to make some plays on the outside? On DeMarcus Robinson caught all nine of his targets, career high nine catches, over 100 yards. Several of those were on third down. That was good to see. I don't want to say that he wasn't a positive. He was absolutely a positive, but at some point in time, you're going to need more from other people. And do I think that this is suddenly a breakthrough for DeMarcus Robinson at this point in his career? No, I think it was a good game for him, and he's
Maybe
playing
in this
well late.
offense, he can be a little bit of a blankie for Lamar when Lamar needs it.
Yeah, I mean, and we've talked about this. I mean, it has to be more than just Mark Andrews, right? I mean, we go back to the Tampa Bay game early on before Andrews leaves with the shoulder injury. I mean, Lamar kind of having tunnel vision for Andrews, really to the detriment of what they were doing. I mean, it's so strange to say that because Mark Andrews, other than Travis Kelce, is the best tight end in football. So, yeah, Lamar is going to focus on him, but at times, does he focus a little bit too much on him? Well,
Well, he
he's the
can
guy
only
that he
be the best
trusts.
tight end in football if he's getting 8 or 10 targets in this offense, right? In this offense.
And let's be clear. Well, Travis Kelce's getting that many targets in Kansas City too, and they have playmakers all over the
But Lamar's
field.
only going to
So,
throw the ball
yeah, but
25 or 30 times here. He's not throwing that much.
sure. And until others step up, and to your point, they had some drop passes on Sunday, which certainly did not help their cause. Yeah, he is going to look to Mark Andrews a little bit more. However, there are certainly some times where Mark Andrews isn't the guy to go to necessarily on a single given play. So I think from that standpoint, they're searching. And are they going to find an answer? We'll see. I certainly think Lamar Jackson has shown he is more than capable of getting on a roll throwing the football. And we saw that right out of the gate in 2022, his first three games of the season, 10 touchdown passes. Since then, it's been much more of a grind for this passing game. And it's not all on Lamar by any stretch of the imagination, but yeah. He does need to throw the football better and make better decisions. And there have been plays to be made out there from time to time. And when those plays are there and he does throw the football, you need guys to make catches. And we just didn't see nearly enough of that from anyone other than DeMarcus Robinson, and to a lesser degree, but still a solid performance overall from Mark Andrews in his return as well.
All right, lots of new names, including JPP and Roquan Smith. They still play defense around here, too. We are going to discuss the defensive effort. Just 3 points against the Carolina Panthers. And certainly the defense's leadership role here. Luke and I will continue on in discussing all things Ravens this week. We've got great discussions from the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill and Win Donations. A big week for Goodwill and our friends at Wise Marks. We'll be serving lots of less fortunate folks here for the holidays. So certainly as you're getting your Thanksgiving together, you want to volunteer some time on Wednesday, there's still time. 10 a.m. on Wednesday downtown. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com reaches me. We'll continue on with a bunch of Raven stuff and celebrating Thanksgiving around here and a trip to Jacksonville. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, House in Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.